There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Yeah, final hour of The Grill. We're broadcasting live from the rooftop garden down here at Barrastin. Archie's just stepped on my toe and it is agony. But thank you all the same, Arch. Little reminder there, little stamp on the toes.
A little bit of toe tampering there.
A little bit of toe tampering to go with all sorts of other tampering that's been going on in the world of sport. Just put us in the picture. This is a breaking, developing story, which I'm sure is going to get much more airtime. Mark Archer's on top of it for us. It's coming from the South Africa-Australia cricket series.
Yeah, we've been talking about how fiery and controversial this series has been to date. They're into day three of this third test match at Newlands in Cape Town. It's fair to say Australia behind the eight ball, South Africa in a really strong position, 181 for three in their second innings. They have a lead of 238 runs, seven wickets remaining. That's happening in the match, Tom, but we've just seen pitches come there that there's going to be an allegation of ball tampering by one of the Australian fielders. The batsman Cameron Bancroft has been seen with some sort of device to potentially
sandpaper, apparently
sandpaper, something yellow he had in his pocket. He was approached by the umpires that piece of alleged sandpaper or tampering device has disappeared down his trousers somewhere, and we're all wondering what's been going on, but there's definitely going to be some strong allegations. It's gone mental in social media. Every man and his dog is literally tweeting about this now. The pictures very well slowing down by South African TV have shown this to be happening. And so you can't get away with much these days, let alone ball tampering. And it looks as though Mr. Bancroft might be in a spot of trouble. And the coach, Darren Lehman, who's come out overnight and been very sort of vocal about the problems I've had with crowds and sort of pointing fingers at all these things going on, might just have to come up and next press conference might be talking about something other than crowds and abuse and sledging. It might be about ball tampering. So let's wait and see. We'll keep you posted as this story's rapidly developing over in South Africa.
Yeah, keep an eye on that one. As we will, of course, the live football, because North Ireland just got underway. They're taking on South Korea in a international friendly. So we'll keep an eye on that one for you. We also want to head down under because, well, it's all happening down there at the moment, isn't it? AFL's back, NRL's back. You've got Super Rugby. The Australian franchises putting a good fist in when it comes to Super Rugby at the moment. It's just the right time of year to be down there enjoying your sport, because none more so than tomorrow, streets of Melbourne sees the start of the F1 season.
And it's lights out and away we go.
Cars really screaming more, more, more. Kind of exciting.
Still have a lot of fire in my heart still.
Get in there, Lewis. Yeah. Champion of the world.
Even a bigger burning desire this year to win the championship, particularly as we fight another team.
See that Ferrari is back. We're back at the front. You know, we really have a say to come at the race. And
yes, yes, yes.
Sorry, I'm really sorry.
Simply, simply lovely.
What a joke! Come on, Paul!
All the drama to look forward to of a brand new Formula One season gets underway down in Australia tomorrow. Who's on pole position? Mark Archer.
Yeah, it's, well, surprise, surprise, Tom. It's Lewis Hamilton and Mercedes. Just to put the cat amongst the pigeons there. But it took a stunning last lap effort by Lewis Hamilton to get that pole position. So Lewis Hamilton's on pole. And then, again, surprise, surprise, it's the two Ferraris in second and third. Kimi Raikkonen will start alongside him in second. And from the second row will be Sebastian Vettel. The Red Bulls of Max Verstappen and local favourite Daniel Ricciardo will be fourth and fifth on the grid. Now, bad start, though, for Hamilton's teammate at Mercedes, Valtteri Bottas. He crashed into the wall. He'll start 10th on the grid. He's also had to replace a gearbox, which may see him lose another five places. And you're only allowed three sort of chassis replacements or engine replacements. He's used up one of them before the first race, so that could be big penalties. Form of the other teams, well, both McLarens went out in Q2, so not good for them, but it's business as usual for Mercedes. Lewis Hamilton on pole, and the Ferraris right behind him at second and third.
So many questions leading into a brand new season, and so much debate leading into that season as well. Seems to be, though, the big story, and the big one that seems to be pushed by Formula One Supremos, is this personal battle between Messrs. Hamilton and Vettel, both going for their multi... I think they're both going for four championships?
No, they're both won four. They're both won four and going for a fifth, which is right up there in the highest echelon of Formula One race victories, you know, career victories. Yeah. And, it's fascinating. I guess we had it last season with Ferrari and Vettel really competing well against and had the lead in the Constructors' title and the Formula One Drivers' title against Hamilton and Mercedes. But they got halfway through the season. They went to Singapore. It all went wrong for Vettel and the Ferrari team. And they never recovered for the rest of the season. And in the end, it was a bit of a cakewalk for Lewis Hamilton. He ran away with the Constructors' title, and Ferrari sort of faded into the background. So let's hope this year we see genuine competition, at least between those two. And I'd love to throw the Red Bulls of Verstappen and Ricciardo into the mix, just to make things interesting, to have three teams vying. But if anything, we didn't really know where the teams were at, because you never quite know with the pre-season testing. You never quite know with the warm-up laps, the practice laps before the race. But you do know once qualifying comes, the boys put the pedal to the metal, and we just saw that Lewis Hamilton still has that bit of an advantage, albeit the Ferrari seemed very, very close there in terms of the car speed. So let's wait and see. Let's hope we have a really competitive Formula One season.
One thing you can guarantee is that there will be words traded between Hamilton and Vettel.
Thank you, boys. Unbelievable. Thank you. I love you.
Woo-hoo! World champion! I can't believe it!
Thank you so much. Every single one.
World champion, pal.
That's the greatest moment of my life.
You're the triple world champion, Sebastian Vettel. You are the man.
Get in there, Lewis. Champion of the world.
I'd like to say a big thanks to everyone. Just so grateful for your hard work this year. God bless you.
Fantastic. You're a four-time world champion.
Unbelievable, guys.
We did it. Yes. Yes.
I love you, guys. I love you.
All sorts of love being traded by the drivers there. Will they get the rub of the green? Will they get the love throughout the season? It remains to be seen. Does Hamilton start the season as favourite?
Of course he does. He's just won back-to-back-to-back Formula One titles. We had a bit of a debate on the show with Damo Reid, and we said to Damo, if you had your own Formula One team, he's our Formula One expert, we said to him in Sports Live during the week, you had to pick your first driver for your car. Do you go with Vettel or do you go with Hamilton? He surprisingly went with Seb Vettel and thought Seb Vettel would win the race tomorrow. But I think it's so hard to, when you've both won four titles and you have differing cars with your version on which a bit quicker. But it's tough to look past Lewis Hamilton on recent form, current form, confidence. He's got the talent. He's got the car. And obviously he was a delighted man today when he got that pole position. This is what he had to say straight away.
Season, the qualifying session of thrills and spills, and the man on pole position, a record seventh here in Australia, reigning world champion Lewis Hamilton. And as he takes his balaclava off, we'll wait to get a few words from him. some congratulations from his boys. Lewis. Lewis, that was a lap of some commitment to take the record here. 7 pole positions. How did that one feel?
You would think that with the results we've had for these years, it would be the norm, but it doesn't. It's still just as intense, and I'm like, my heart's racing. I wish you could feel it right now. But it's great to see this crowd here. Thank you so much for coming out. I'm so grateful to the Aussies having us here every year, and mostly the generally good weather, but beautiful city, and a lot of British flags here, so I'm really grateful for it. But I'm so happy with that lap. It was such a nice lap. And you know, I'm always striving for perfection, so that was as close as I could get.
Phenomenal, and 6 tenths, more than 6 tenths on pole position. We've heard some talk about party mode. Was party mode engaged? Was it party time in the car today?
I'm always in party mode, so, you know. No, I mean, what was surprising is to see how quick the Ferraris were. I mean, I don't really know. During that lap, I was in the same mode as I was in before, so it was just really hooking up the tires, getting them at the right temperature, and then putting the lap together. I'd had good sectors before, but I never, not. I mean, maybe the first lap of qualifying, but after that, I hadn't put them together, so.
There was Lewis Hamilton talking about his pole position for tomorrow's Australian Grand Prix, the first Formula One race of the season. Now, his biggest rival will be across at Ferrari. It'll be the German Sebastian Vettel. He will be in third place tomorrow on the grid. This is what he had to say after qualifying.
Maybe not the day that you were hoping for, but pace in the car looks good. Just that massive push from Lewis at the end there. Are you happy with today?
Yeah, I think we can be. I mean, yesterday I wasn't happy. I didn't really feel the car, so it just kept coming better in qualifying. I think the last lap I had a little bit of a moment into 13. I tried to brake really late. Didn't work. But, yeah, it was really close. I mean, exciting, obviously, also for us if it's that close. Yeah, shame that Lewis had quite a big gap at the end, but I guess his lap was pretty good. So looking forward to tomorrow. I think we did improve the car to today, and, yeah, we'll see what happens tomorrow.
We know Mercedes always turn it on the Saturday. For the Sunday tomorrow, how confident are you you can take it to those guys when we get a proper fight on for the win?
Yeah, I hope they did turn it on today, so that means that they have to turn it off tomorrow. So, yeah, but I think it's very close. I think we saw yesterday in the long runs that pace is very close. So let's see. It's not the easiest place to overtake. But who knows, we have an opportunity at the start, then in the race, you never know. So really happy, I think, for the team. It's a good result. So yeah, let's get going.
Oh, that's a fabulous goal!
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, with more sport, the latest headlines, and top debate on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Right, we are. Yeah, we've got a couple of games on, actually, underway at the moment. There's a bit of live rugby, so Archie's going to put us in the picture of that one. There's some live football for you as well, because we have got Northern Ireland taking on South Korea. Bad news for Northern Ireland is they've gone behind at home against South Korea. 90 minutes on the clock. It's South Korea leading Northern Ireland by 1-0. Let's get some more football news. We've got Dale Gordon alongside us at the moment. Dale, let's get some thoughts on one of the big stories of the week. I want you to listen to Dennis Wise now. Dennis Wise has been giving his thoughts on the latest news from Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Wise believes that Ibrahimovic has still got a lot left in him.
I was fortunate enough to play till I was 38 and a half and really enjoyed it and enjoyed doing that. And I think you play as long as you can, you know, as long as you enjoy it. And I think if he enjoys it, then he carries on for as long as he can carry on for, you know, and wherever he go, he's got a presence about him. He'll be able to influence the young kids and help them. And I think that's great. So carry on playing. There's nothing better to play with a top, top player and learn a little bit about them and play alongside them. So if he can give that and help him, although his legs are not going to be as quick as they used to be, I think carry on playing as long as you can. That's what I would say.
Been a goal in the friendly, Northern Ireland against South Korea. Dell, who's got it?
Yeah, Northern Ireland's equalised. It's an own goal, actually, by Kim on 20 minutes. So South Korea taking the early lead there to go 1-0 up, and Northern Ireland replied with an equaliser there to make it 1-1.
Just going back to those thoughts by Dennis Wise, are you surprised that Man United let Ibrahimovic go at this point of the season?
Well, we're just talking off air, myself and Arch, and said that, you know, after an horrific injury, someone of his calibre to come back and show the dedication, determination, obviously, with the physiotherapy and the right rehabilitation, he has got that character, and it doesn't surprise me that Manchester United have released him from his contract. He obviously in his first season at Manchester United was outstanding. I think it was 27, 28 goals, which was a great repay of faith within him. And obviously with the injury just knocked him back, and with the signing of Lukaku as well. And obviously we've got to look at his wages as well. He was on massive, massive money. There was a year option, which Manchester United, and I think a lot of that was down to Jose Mourinho, to justify the fact of giving him that year option. Obviously, when he was able to justify the fact that he was back to 100% fitness, but obviously competition for places and Sanchez coming in as well, it was always going to be difficult for Zlatan to break through into the first team, apart from a couple of substitute performances. So with Man United blessing, he's now gone and signed for LA Galaxy, and he still has a lot to offer. For me, he still, he's been out of the game, he's still hungry, and then in his tweets, Zlatan is ready for the US, and I think that he'll go there.
Is the US ready for Zlatan?
Well, this is it. But I think he will go there and be a big success. I think players in the past who have probably Beckham was a big success and has continued to be a big success in the US. You know, obviously with his new franchise as well. The likes of Stevie Gerrard, the likes of Frank Lampard, you know, I think Zlatan has a lot more to offer than them players by him going over there.
Did you see, being the modest bloke that Zlatan is, he took out a full-page ad in the LA Times to say, and all it said was, "You're welcome, LA."
He is. I mean, but he brings so much. I mean, that's one of the reasons that Man United went after him in the first place, isn't
it? Exactly.
Shirt sales and tickets, and he's a fan's favourite.
He's box office, isn't he?
Yeah, he's box office, and I think he still is one of the world class players that hasn't won the Champions League. But his career is phenomenal. It's outstanding wherever he's been. He's won every championship in every country he's been to. He won't look at this Manchester United career as a failure. I think he'll look upon that as, I went there, you know, I done my bit, you know, and unfortunately he wasn't able to push the side to the Premier League title, because I think Zlatan,
he won two trophies last year.
He won
Dale.
Two trophies, but I think also three. Charity Shield. But I think that really he would look upon that as a part of, when you look back on your career and you look where you played and what you've achieved, Manchester United would have been a club that he would probably think that I probably didn't fulfil my full ambition there. But, you know, he's, like you said, he's still won two trophies, stroke three, and he'll now go to America and no doubt have a massive influence in LA Galaxy, possibly after a couple of years of dip in form, we'll go there and possibly win the MLS as well.
It's going to be such a massive, massive. I mean, it's a club made for him, isn't it?
And it's very
tough. Perfect match.
Yeah, and that will be a swan song for his career. And there's no doubt that he'll probably go there and win it.
Let's hear from the man himself, shall we? Because he's given his first full interview since joining LA Galaxy, and as you'll hear, he's looking forward to it.
Let's say I'm used to these things, because it's not the first time I make a move or a transfer or a change of address, because it has happened a couple of times. And I'm super excited. I know what I come with. I know what I'm able to do. So this is just a new adventure for me, a new challenge. And I'm looking forward to conquer the U.S. just like I conquered Europe. So I'm pumped.
What attracted you and ultimately made your decision to sign with LA Galaxy?
I think after 20 years in Europe, playing for the best clubs in the world, with best players in the world, have been winning so much. I think what I collected, it's time to move to a different continent, I think you say. So move over to US, try the MLS. For me, there was no question about it. Galaxy was the team, and I chose them. So they didn't need to choose me. I chose them, and I come to do exactly what I've been doing the last 23 years, winning, because I feel it's in my DNA. Wherever I come, I won, and I will still do it. So I'm coming to win. I'm coming to help and make it better.
You've played for the biggest clubs in the world with David Beckham at PSG. Did you speak with David before you came, and what did he tell you about his experience with the Galaxy and Major League Soccer?
I met David when I played in PSG, and he talked a lot about Galaxy, the experience he had in America. He was all positive, and he was like, you should come over, go over and try it out, play there. And he said everything is fantastic, it's in progress, but to be part of it is something amazing and something he was proud of. So I'm just happy to get all these words, because it makes it easier for you when you have to choose whatever you want to do for the next step. And like I said, this thing was supposed to happen before, but it didn't happen. But it's happening now. So it's the destiny.
LAFC is the new team in MLS expansion club. The Galaxy, an original, the most MLS Cups in the league with 5. People are anticipating this rivalry. You've played in some of the biggest derbies in the world. What are you expecting from this one in Los Angeles?
I think it will be the biggest match during the season, because he's a new started team against already a big team and from the same city now. And I think the competition, the rival will be there, and is now, I think, will be the first meeting, and there you will feel the rival, because when two teams come from the same city, the one wants to be better than the other one, obviously. I have experience from not the same city. Maybe Milan, Inter was the same city. No, it is the same city. But Barcelona, Madrid, different cities, but still is the rivalry. Who is the best? Who does it best? And I think this will be the same thing. And their supporters against our supporters. So, but everything will be decided in the field. Who is the best and who is not the best? But I'm not worried about this, because these games, I was born for these games.
You suffered your first major injury in your career last April, tearing your cruciate ligament. But the Lion came back a little quicker than maybe some people expected. Where are you at physically, and are you ready to hit the ground running and contribute from the jump for the Galaxy?
I'm training very hard, because I'm demanding for myself to be where I was before. And I'm just looking forward to play. I need to play. I'm like a little child that you give candy for the first time, and he's looking for the candy all the time. So that is what I need. I need to play, and I want to play. So I'm hungry to play, because it has gone too long now that I haven't felt involved in the game, and I need to feel involved, because this is what I do. This is what I've been doing all my life. And my objective is to come back like I was before. I feel fresh. I feel sharp. I feel I have a lot to give. And I want to do it in Los Angeles with Galaxy. But the thing is, I know what I'm able to do. I'm not worried about that. The only thing is, my knee has to follow what I want to do. And he will follow.
Looking towards the season ahead and the year, with the Galaxy, new challenge, new league, but people are still calling for you with the national team. Is that door still open, and are you considering coming back with Sweden, potentially in Russia?
I think the main focus now is Galaxy. I settle in, get to know my new teammates, get to know the club, get to know the city. When I feel comfortable there, you take the next step. I mean, they're calling me every day, asking me, how do you feel? What do you want? What are you thinking? How is the situation? But one step at a time. I mean, if I feel good, if I feel I'm able and I want to do what I think I can do, or what I know I can do, I mean, the door will always be open. So it has nothing to do on the other side. It's from this side. Let's say me. If I want, I'm there. If I don't want, I'm not there. But one thing at a time. I said, I'm very hungry to play football. I need to play football. And when I start to do that, then we see what happens.
One of the greatest players of a generation. What do you want your legacy to be from this period in Major League Soccer?
The legacy would be that I came, I conquered, I left.
This is The Grill. Get involved with the show. Text 4001 or message us for free on the Dubai Eye Messenger app.
Right, let's get some live scores for you. We've got some football underway, international friendlies. Dale Gordon's watching this one for us.
Yes, Northern Ireland against South Korea. It still remains 1-1. South Korea took an early lead on 7 minutes, but Northern Ireland replied back with an own goal by Kim to make it 1-1. So come up to halftime there, it still remains 1-1. Just on that one, Tom, just listening to Zlatan as well, I think that obviously that was a major football story this week, but I think there's another gentleman who won 8 gold medals, Usain Bolt, who looks like he's switched from athletics to football. Made a lot of headlines at the moment over in Borussia Dortmund, training with the first team. I think he has a long way to go, though. I think his first touch is wanting a little bit. But obviously, if a man of his pace can get away with having a dodgy first touch, even if it bounces off about 100 yards, we know how quickly he'll get there. But I think he's made obviously headlines in Dortmund and all around the world, really, in the football world. But I do believe that he's actually getting in conditioning and training for a charity football match in Manchester in June for Football Aid. But I think the last time a player made, I think Ian Botham, Arch, is that right? Ian Botham from in the world of cricket. Jumped from cricket into football and played for Scunthorpe United all those years ago.
Yeah, you're correct. I think there's been a few.
More recent than that, though, who was the Kiwi who played cricket and rugby internationally?
Jeff Wilson,
yeah. Jeff Wilson. Played for the All Blacks and played for Black Caps.
Played for Black Caps.
That's doing something.
But has anybody really jumped from one sport to another and really taken to it?
So most of those were guys that played as a youngster, were very talented at both, and then kind of could switch. But not a Usain Bolt, who's forever been a sprinter, then deciding at age, 30-something, because whoever held Usain Bolt says, well, now I love a bit of football, become a footballer and trying to do his training. So
all I could say is probably a very, very good PR.
Good luck to him.
For Dortmund and for Bolt as well.
That's what's happening in the football. We've got some updates from the cricket as well. There's been a wicket in the cricket. A
couple of wickets, actually, over in Cape Town, and lots of controversy happening with Cameron Bancroft and his ball tampering allegations, but we'll get back to them later. Currently, South Africa in their second innings, 203/5. They have a lead over Australia of 259, 5 wickets remaining. AB de Villiers, of course, probably the key man now, 43 not out, holding the innings together. Quentin de Kock, the new man at the crease, he's 2 not out. Last couple of wickets to go was Themba Bavuma. He was caught the sub. Hanscom bowled Hazelwood for 5. Before him, the captain, Faf du Plessis, was LBW 2, Nathan Lyon for 2. So South Africa in control, 259-run lead. They'll look to take it over 300 and put the pressure on Australia with a couple of days remaining. And, of course, we've had the Cameron Bancroft ball tampering allegation that's come to light over the last hour or so. So we're keeping eyes on that. That will be interesting development as well, Tom.
You're also keeping an eye on the rugby for us. Is there live Super Rugby on at the moment?
No Super Rugby yet.
Not yet.
The kickoff is going to come a little bit later, and the Super Rugby match is at 7:15, just when we go off air. Also in Newlands, at the rugby stadium, which is just literally across the road from the cricket ground. It's the Stormers, the home team, taking on the Reds from Australia. Late kickoff tonight also is down in Argentina with the Jaguares hosting the Lions. I'll give you one live rugby score. It's from the Pro 14. The early kickoff there is actually in South Africa also. It's the Southern Kings facing Benetton from Italy. And it looks like the away team, there's 10 minutes remaining, and Treviso Benetton lead the home teams of Kings 36 points to 28, 10 minutes remaining down there at Port Elizabeth.
Lots of golf going on around the globe. We're going to get to those leaderboards in just a few moments' time. But a couple of the big names and heads have rolled down at the latest World Golf Championship. This is the Dell Technologies Match Play. It's been played in Austin, Texas. This is what happened yesterday.
Highlights from a busy Friday at the World Golf Championships. Dell Technologies Match Play, round 3, in a day that everybody was sent packing. Unless you won your group, here is Brian Harman taking on Rory McIlroy. This in group 6. 13th hole, second shot, knocks it in. He would go 4 up. He would beat McIlroy and win the group. Phil Mickelson trying to win group 14. This tee shot at the 17th hole coming from behind on Rafael Cabrera Bello. Phil would make, Bello would miss. It wouldn't be enough. Charles Howell III would win the group. How about Kiradesh Happy barn rat. 14th hole, birdie putt, makes it, wins that group. He escapes group number three. Justin Thomas, number two. The second seed in the field. This at the 10th hole, his second shot. Taking on Francesco Molinari and just rolling. He would win the match 7-5, win the group easily, and is the highest seed remaining. Here's Sergio Garcia, now spending a lot of time in Austin, his home away from home. Loving the wedge shot. Sergio would beat Xander Schauffele, and he would win group 7. Cameron Smith doing his best. A winner last year in the team event in New Orleans on the tee at 11. Very nearly flies it in. He would square up the match, do enough, and Cameron Smith wins group number 5. The big showdown was Jordan Spieth and Patrick Reed. Here was Spieth playing from behind at the ninth, his second shot. Almost knocks that in. He would get back to one down in the match. Some said the match was sloppy. Most disagree. Here was Kyle Stanley at the 10th. At group number 10, this is a playoff hole, one of the three playoffs that we would see on Friday. And Kyle Stanley would eliminate Paul Casey, and Stanley gets through. Matt Kuchar, 16th seed, winner of group 16, is going to get to play potentially world number one Dustin Johnson, but that's not how it worked out. Kuchar not scared. Takes this one at the 7th, all the way into the hole. An ace! Matt Kuchar would beat Ross Fisher and win group 16. Patrick Reed was still trying to hold off Jordan Spieth when they got to 17. Spieth was mounting a comeback, and Patrick Reed ends it. That's it. Hats off. Handshakes all around. Reed wins group 4. And Louis Oosthuizen in a playoff over Jason Duffner. This was for group 8. Oosthuizen makes it. He wins the group. And Louis Oosthuizen advances to the weekend. Here is the weekend television schedule for a busy Saturday at the World Golf Championships Dell Technologies Match Play.
Is it a busy Saturday? Mark Archer's got the latest.
It is a busy Saturday. Of course, all the players are really gearing up for the first major of the year. The Masters at Augusta is only 2 weeks away, Tom, and that is a mouth-watering prospect with so many of the leading players in good form. Rory McIlroy winning last week. We saw Phil Mickelson winning a couple of weeks ago. It's been great. Tiger Woods has returned to a couple of top fives. So a lot of big-name players coming to the fore. But, of course, this week we're at the WGC Match Play, Austin, Texas. The news there from the first couple of days, the big news is Rory McIlroy's knocked out. Well, Dustin Johnson, world number one, he's been eliminated. Justin Thomas, he can go number one in the world if he has a victory over the weekend. No Jordan Spieth either, a man obviously want to find some form ahead of the Masters. But that's the last 16 matches currently have just started over in Austin, Texas. Let me run you through who is playing who. It's Brian Harman, the man from Canada, who defeated Rory McIlroy yesterday. He's taking on Bubba Watson. Sergio Garcia, the reigning Masters champion, he's taking on the American Kyle Stanley. Matt Kuchar will face Kevin Kisner. Patrick Reed will take on Alex Noren from Sweden. Louis Oosthuizen from South Africa takes on Ian Poulter. Ian Poulter needs a good week to try and qualify for the Masters to get his ranking high enough. Kiradek Afibanrat, the man from Thailand, takes on Charles Howell III. England's Tyrone Hatton was taking on Cameron Smith, the Aussie. And then the final matchup in the last 16 is Justin Thomas taking on Siwoo Kim from Korea. Let's have a quick listen to Justin Thomas as he goes into his last 16 match.
Justin Thomas, Justin, you told me you got a little bit lucky on Wednesday in the first day, but you've improved every day since. How so?
I've been playing more solid. I made more birdies each day. Just with how the golf course is playing on Wednesday, not being a lot of wind, and the opponent I'm playing not having a putter, that definitely helps when it's as good a player as Luke. But I mean, I played solid enough to win all these matches, and it was nice to do so.
One of the great things about watching you on television and in person, if you're a fan, is you get to see your emotion come out of you. How are you able to hold that in check in a format like this, which is basically hole to hole, unlike most weeks on tour?
Yeah, it's tough. It's weird. So many things pop in your head in match play versus stroke play. You know, like today, you know, I'd be really excited to see how low I could go. You know, I could, you know, post a serious number as we almost get hit by a ball. I told you we're in danger.
We were joking about that.
I told you we're in danger. No, it's just that you have to really take it one hole at a time. And I've tried to do a lot better job this year of playing my game as opposed to playing to my opponent.
Those the thoughts of Justin Thomas in the world of in the world of golf. Just want to turn our attention to tennis quickly, if we can. We've got the Miami Open ongoing at the moment. Some big games to look forward to a little later on. But one man who won't be there is Novak Djokovic. He's been knocked out of the Miami Open. Let's hear from Djokovic now. He reckons that he's come back to the big time, come back to competitive play too quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to come to Indian Wells in Miami because I want to see, you know, whether I can play a match. I love playing on a hard court. I wanted to get a couple of tournaments before the clay court season starts, but I obviously wasn't ready for that. I'm trying, but it's not working, and that's all. That's all it is. I mean, I am obviously not feeling great when I'm playing this way, and you know, I want to be able to play as well as I want to play, but it's just it's impossible at the moment, and that's all. It is what it is. You know, I'm not at the level that I used to be. I'm aware of that, and I just have to obviously, you know, believe in myself, and hopefully it will come. I mean, it's. I never liked comparisons, and I know that you can't be the person that you were yesterday. So I mean, and the player, you have to keep on training, evolving, and trying to improve your game. Obviously, the circumstances that I was in the last 2 years were kind of very challenging. But you know, I'm not the only one that goes through that. I mean, there are tougher injuries that players go through, and. So I don't want to sit here and whine about my, you know, last couple of years, but truth is that it wasn't easy, and obviously I compromised my game and the movement and everything because of the injury, and so I'm, you know, trying to figure things out.
This is The Grill. Get involved with Dubai Eye on Facebook.
Yeah, welcome back. Final moments of the show. An opportunity for you to have your say as well. Do get in touch with us. Novak Djokovic dumped out of the Miami Open by the Frenchman, Benoit Paire, late yesterday. So he is out of that one. Del Potro still in. Good win for Grigor Dimitrov as well. A little later on, you've got Ben Čoric taking on Leonardo Mayer. Denis Shapovalov is in action against Demir Zamur. Alexander Zverev takes on Daniel Medvedev. You know, all that chat we've had recently about, you know, not the big names turning up to the tournaments. I think it's a problem that's being faced by all tournaments at the moment, isn't it? Because the big names are either injured or managing their schedules.
Yeah, you did right. We've talked about the likes. Because we've had so much success from some of the older statesmen in the tennis world, the Rafa Nadals and the Roger Federers, they're either dealing with injury or trying to plan their seasons accordingly so their bodies can survive. We see that with the case of Roger Federer. Still a lot of discussion on whether he will play a clay court season. Will he turn up to Roland Garros trying to win that major? Apparently, Chris McCarty's conspiracy theory is that he's waiting on to see the form and fitnesses of Rafa Nadal before he commits to going to Roland Garros. If Rafa turns up, Roger says, well, I might miss this and concentrate on Wimbledon. And if Rafa's not there, then Chris reckons he might throw his hat in the rink and take part on the clay court season. But if I was advising Mr. Federer, I'd say focus on the grass of Wimbledon, because he's got a great chance of, in the form he's in, if he can manage his schedule, he's got a great class of adding another slam to his long list there with Wimbledon. Clay court, take Rafa there or not, it's tough on the body, it's long five sets, whether Rafa's there or not, we know how good Rafa is on that, but there's a lot of good clay court players that Federer would have to get past for that Grand Slam.
At the beginning of the show, Arch, you mentioned a certain Will Greenwood. We're going to hear from him now as well. What's he been saying about England's performance during the Six Nations?
Well, I think he's been sort of stating the fact, and we talked about this at the start of the show, that the England players look mentally and physically tired. A lot of them went on Lions tours. He's lamenting the fact that Ireland and Wales and Scotland can pick and choose to rest players during the club season. So Will Greenwood's come out and says, well, if England want to do well in a World Cup, they should start resting players, and they should take a weakened, a lesser squad down to South Africa in the summer months to take on the Springboks, because they need guys who are going to be fully rested up ahead of that Rugby World Cup. Let's just have a listen to Will Greenwood's comments after Ireland well, gave won that Six Nations last week and with that convincing win over England. This is what Will Greenwood's been saying during the week.
I'm not sure how many names or how many players you suggest do this, but there's a bunch of guys hit the beach while some youngsters get the chance in South Africa, and with that comes inherent risk, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it comes inherent risk taking the same guys to go out there. And if you look at the Saracens players, for example, they've done a double in Europe. They nearly did the double-double. It was a brilliant Henry Slade kick to a corner, and I think Sam Simmons scored the try in the semi-final. They almost did the double-double. And a lot of those guys were in the World Cup in 2015. Not all of them were. They came off the back of that. A lot of them were then in the Lions tours. And the names that would roll off my tongue and say, don't go anywhere near Rubberfield this summer, would be Jamie George, Makavunipola, Mario Toje, George Cruz, Owen Farrell, rest those guys. Robshaw's been one of our best players, and we'll get a kick in because, it's the back row issue as well. He was outstanding in this Six Nations. So with those sorts of players, you can bring new players. I'm not saying take a kid's team.
Okay.
You look at people individually. Joe Marler should go, but be warned, if he takes another cheap shot on a fly half, then he gets a ticket straight into anonymity. Can't afford that sort of discipline. But he looks fit, he looks strong, but he needs to control that edge. You take a Luke Cowan-Dickie, you drop in there, you could have it. I'd take Elliot Daly. You'd say, well, he went on the lines. He was just missed a little bit of rugby this season, fresh and could do with the game. George Ford should go. But in amongst it, Slades, Lazowski, Solomonas, Brendan O'Connor's potentially, James Chisholm from Quinns at six, Johnny Hill from Saracens, Harry Williams. There are all these sorts of characters who are performing at the highest level, sort of bookended by players who've been in and around Eddie Jones' squad. Some have been sent home on Tuesdays, I take that, but they're not all complete newcomers to test rugby in the higher level. Nick Ezekwe, someone like him. So there are options, but I genuinely, genuinely believe that, you know, Dan Cole, another... send them away, but with that, have a bargaining chip with the clubs where you, Eddie Jones, goes to clubs and say, look, I get this, you want to qualify Europe and you want to win in Europe and domestic tough. Here's the deal. I'm not going to take some of those players, but don't pick them until October. Don't pick them until round 5 and 6 of the Aviva Premiership, just before Europe starts in 2018, 2019. Give me a crack next November at New Zealand, Australia, South Africa, Japan. Give me guys who are fresh on the back of that. And I think the clubs would be open to potentially discussing that option, which would give some key players, mainly the Saracens, a break.
Those the thoughts of Will Greenwood, and he's obviously got many opinions. A lot of people having their comments about the Six Nations. One man who had a breakthrough Six Nations is Ireland's new star winger.
Yeah, Jacob Stockdale took the rugby world by storm, really, and he broke the long-standing Six Nations try-scoring record. Now, he's pretty much a rookie, burst on the scene. I think you'd give a lot of tribute to Joe Smith and his coaching to bring youngsters in and tell that. Here's Jacob Stockdale talking about also becoming the Six Nations player of the tournament.
To win the Natworth player of the championship, bit of a surprise, like, you know, I wasn't expecting it. Especially, I wasn't expecting it maybe, you know, about 8 weeks ago, whenever if you told me that it was going to happen. So yeah, like, not many guys get to do it, and, you know, to be able to kind of do it my first one is, you know, it's really exciting. But yeah, just, you know, kind of really grateful and, you know, thankful for kind of everybody who voted for me, I voted for Keith Earls, so I did. I think the big standout moments for me were, you know, the kind of the end of the Wales game, you know, to be able to score an intercept and kind of finish off the game, you know, was a really great feeling. You know, and then just being able to kind of go over to Twickenham, you know, and get a win there where not a lot of teams have done that. So, yeah, I'd say they were two, you know, kind of real standout moments for me. You know, for everybody who voted for me, like, I'm incredibly grateful, and it was brilliant to be nominated to begin with, and, you know, so to actually have won it is something I'll definitely never forget.
Well done to Jacob Stockdale. Well done to Ireland. Grand Slam winners and Six Nations champions. That's about it from us today. You just got some scores to bring us up to date with, boys. Let's get the latest from the rugby first with Mark Archer.
Yeah, full time in the Pro 14 match. It's a big upset win, actually. Benetton Treviso from Italy have gone to South Africa, to Port Elizabeth, and beaten the Southern Kings 36-35. Cracking match there.
We've got internationals on at the moment as well. International friendlies, that is, Dale.
Yes, it's Northern Ireland against South Korea. One for South Korea put the Koreans 1-0 ahead, and then Kim as an own goal, actually, for Northern Ireland, equalising. A little bit flat as well, Tom, to be fair, after their exploits in the qualifying stages with Michael O'Neill nearly left Ireland to go to Scotland, but it's a bit flat at the moment after a very, very tough campaign. And also as well, a week of international football. The games, outstanding games, Egypt are playing Greece, Belgium against Saudi Arabia, Germany, Brazil, England are playing the Italians, Spain against Argentina, Portugal host Netherlands, Holland, and the host nation Russia for the World Cup take on France.
What's the latest in the cricket, Mark Archer?
Just waiting for my computer to refresh, but obviously the big incident this afternoon has been the alleged ball tampering incident by the Australian batsman Cameron Bancroft. We've just seen a lot of video footage on and social media footage of Cameron Bancroft hiding some sort of device down his trousers. The umpires have intervened.
And we all.
The umpires have intervened. They've looked at the ball. They've reprimanded Mr. Bancroft, but I'm guessing we're only hearing the start of this, but social media has gone crazy. South Africa in a very strong position, 223 for 5 at the moment. That's a lead over Australia of 279 runs, 5 wickets remaining. AB de Villiers, as he often does, steps up when the pressure's on. He's 46 not out. Quinton de Kock, 19 not out. So it's a big lead by South Africa. It's going to be a fascinating, well, post-match interview and comment by everyone involved, and it's going to be a really good last couple of days of this test match.
Just had to pinch myself as well, because I knew there wasn't any football on. I couldn't understand why we were watching live footage from Anfield, and then I saw Robbie Fowler walk onto the pitch.
Yeah, it's a Legends match, Tom. It's Liverpool Legends against Bayern Munich Legends at Anfield as well. An unbelievable lineup really for Liverpool. You've got Carragher on there, you've got Alonso's on there as well. Just looking around the team, Michael Owen as well. Ian Rush, I thought it was actually Philip Schofield. And the one player that's not on there is John Barnes. In fact, no, I think he might be landing the goal. So they have parked the bus.
Dalo, bless you. Thanks so much indeed. All the best for the tour, mate.
You're welcome. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Do send us updates, I'm sure you will, on social media throughout. So keep an eye on that one. Dale taking his team, his under-12s, off to the UK this week. So all the best to he. Thanks to Dale Gordon. Thanks also to you, Mark Archer.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Dale.
You're not going on tour this week, are you?
No, I'm back. Robbie Greenfield is still away, so it's the One Bearded Man show. Chris McCarty and myself, I've got Sports Tonight on Tuesday night, so looking forward to breaking down the very exciting things happening in the cricket at the moment.
I'll leave you with the thoughts of Michael Vaughan, who's just tweeted as well. Good that he's seen the funny side of it. Michael Vaughan's tweeted, I need a bit of joinery done at the house. Aussies cheap, hashtag sandpapergate. Thanks so much indeed for watching, for listening. We're back next Saturday between the hours of 4 and 7. Do join us then.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.